And we do have a diversity of topics here to talk about, so we hope that you get a little something out of each of them. I'm Kate Gooden, and I'll be moderating the session today. And our first speaker is Dr. Angela Dunn, the Deputy State Epidemiologist for the Utah Department of Health. And she is going to be speaking about health system integration for population health in Utah. Dr. Dunn.
All right, good morning. So public health is used to looking at clinical data from a public health lens. And for example, we see here that using 99 through 2010 and Haines data, the National Center for Health Statistics analyzed the percentage of adults who have risk factors for cardiovascular disease, and they stratified it by income level. So we see that those in the higher income bracket tend to have a greater decline in their risk for cardiovascular disease. And while public health has recognized for some time the effects of socioeconomic factors on clinical outcomes, recent healthcare payment reform is causing clinical medicine to also focus on these factors. So systems are being pressured by government and payers to switch from this volume-based structure to value-based, where payments are going to shift from fee-for-service to outcome-based. Providers are incentivized to not only keep individuals healthy, but also focus on populations, encourage team-based care across the continuum of life. And then payments are going to increasingly be relying on predictive analyses rather than retrospective. And although public health has paid attention to the impact of socioeconomic factors on clinical outcomes, grants are now requiring public health to work directly with healthcare systems for the delivery of health services and improve the measurement of clinical quality and performance. So, for example, in 2013 and 2014, the CDC issued funding for their 1305 and 1422 grants, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. They have very long names, but are referred to as these numbers. And a short-term goal defined by the CDC for public health in the 1305 grant is for public health to improve the delivery and use of quality clinical and other health services aimed at preventing and managing high blood pressure and diabetes. And strategies for public health to achieve this goal include initiating quality improvement processes and increasing the use of team-based care within health systems. And complementing 1305 funding is the 1422 grant that aims to implement health system interventions to improve quality health care delivery to populations with the highest hypertension and prediabetes disparities. And we see here that strategies to achieve these goals for public health include increasing the use of EHR adoption, increasing the use of health information technology to improve performance, and also increasing the provider use of quality measures. We also want to implement systems to identify patients with undiagnosed hypertension and prediabetes. So the worlds of health systems and public health are blending. Health systems used to solely focus on the top of this pyramid with counseling and education and clinical interventions, and now they're starting to move downward. And public health is being tasked with bringing a population health perspective into the clinical sphere. So in short, the public health and health system priorities are starting to blend and move towards each other. So starting with our 1305 and 1422 funding, we set out to answer the following questions. What's the role of public health within health systems, and can we integrate public health with health systems to achieve mutual goals? So to do this, we formed an interdisciplinary team under the leadership of our health educator, Karen Coates. Mike Friedrichs and Shelley Wagstaff were our lead epidemiologists and statisticians. Deanna Kamel provided her chronic disease epidemiology expertise. We also have an informaticist, Theron Jepson, and then myself, a physician. So we met with stakeholders at both the local and state health department levels, as well as our quality health improvement or quality improvement organization, to identify a health system partner to do this. We wanted our health system partner to have an interest in health system innovation, a relatively high capacity for health information technology, and then a sizable patient population that was representative of the state of Utah. We reached out to a large independent accountable care organization, or ACO, and they're made up of over 100 outpatient clinics throughout the state of Utah with a variety of specialties represented. And the CEO of this health system has extensive expertise in HIT, and he's made his organization a real leader in healthcare innovation in Utah. So So this really started out kind of like a junior high dating game. Our QIO called the CEO of the health system and asked if public health could contact him. He said, sure. So when we called him, we said, look, we really want to partner with you to understand how we can integrate public health with health systems in order to improve both sectors, decrease healthcare costs, and improve health outcomes both on the individual and population level. We have no money to give you. We don't know how we're going to do it. It's probably going to take a while. But luckily, the CEO said sure. So with that, we had the start of our public health health system integration project. And our initial three goals were to, one, understand what health systems need from public health, understand how public health can use electronic health record data, and then lastly, try to figure out what public health data can be integrated with electronic health record data. So our first meeting with the health system was largely just a brainstorming session to try to understand what the health system needed from public health. And their ideas fell into three categories. The first was data. They wanted information from our controlled substance database and our vital records, namely death data, more real time and more readily and integrated with their electronic health record. Luckily at the Utah Department of Health, we were already doing pilots to do this, and so we had the health system become a pilot for these projects. The second was case management. So the health system wanted public health's help in managing their complex patient populations, such as uncontrolled diabetics with multiple comorbidities. We don't offer this at the state level, but we did find it interesting that that's still the perception by health systems of what public health does. And then lastly was worksite wellness. So this health system provides most of their healthcare for their employees, and they have an interest then in implementing evidence-based worksite wellness programs. And at the Utah Department of Health, we do have a worksite wellness specialist. So we were able to connect both the local health department, where the health system is headquartered, with our state worksite wellness specialist and the worksite wellness team at the health system in order to implement some of these practices. So our second goal was to determine how public health can use electronic health record data. And the first step was to actually get the EHR data. The second was to understand it, and this took tons of back and forth between our statistician and the health system to really understand every variable that we were getting from them. And then, of course, our grant objective was to increase the number of health systems reporting National Quality Forum, or NQF, measures. So just briefly, for those who don't know, NQF is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that wants to improve healthcare, and they set out standards for health systems and payers to measure performance. So rather than just getting the pre-calculated NQF measure from the health system, we wanted the raw individual data so that we could do further analyses other than just have the NQF measure. And then our long-term goal, which is not yet realized, is to determine if electronic health record data could be a viable solution for chronic disease surveillance in Utah. So the health system sent us a secure flat file of their data from 2013 to 2016 with the following variables. We have a unique patient ID, so we can follow patients longitudinally over time, month and year of birth, sex, race, their small area where they live, the date of service, and then the ICD and CPT codes that go along with that, as well as the facility where they were getting their services, and then their blood pressure date, and then the measurement of their blood pressure. So using the 2015 electronic health record data, we calculated NQF-18, or hypertension in control, and this is a summarized version of that equation. So the numerator is patients with a diagnosis of hypertension whose last blood pressure was less than 140 over 90 for ages 18 to 59 years, or ages 60 to 84 years if they had diabetes, and then patients who had a blood pressure of less than 150 over 90 if they were 60 to 84 years without diabetes. And then the denominator is all patients 80 to 84 with a diagnosis of hypertension. So when we calculated NQF-18 using the electronic health record data, we found that 65.3% of patients had hypertension in control with this health system, and this is compared to other Utah State Health databases where our HEDIS average is 51.4%, and then our federal qualified health clinics have a control rate of 61%. So our third goal was to integrate electronic health record data with public health data. We analyzed our Utah BRFSS data for 2015 by small area, and then we similarly analyzed the 2015 electronic health record data by small area, and that kept out everything de-identified. And we explored small areas that had a high burden of uncontrolled hypertension. Oh, sorry. So represented here on the x-axis are the small areas with the highest number of patients in the electronic health record system, and the y-axis is the percentage of patients with hypertension in control. So you can see that Washington County and St. George have low rates of hypertension in control, and both these areas are in the southwest corner of Utah. So 32.7% for Washington County and 30.2% in control for St. George. Then using the Utah BRFSS data, we analyzed the same small areas, and we discovered that areas of high uncontrolled hypertension burden for the health system corresponded with areas of high poverty rates and high uninsured rates within our Utah BRFSS. So both small areas had significantly higher proportion of their population living under 250% poverty level, and then also having no insurance compared to the state average overall. So this didn't hold true for other BRFSS variables, such as tobacco use, obesity, and physical activity levels. So we did analyze those as well. We presented this data back to the healthcare system to let them know what we found. And they said that both of their clinics in these areas use eClinicalWorks, which allows physicians to enter hypertension data in free text rather than structured fields. So they propose that perhaps these are not correct measurements of hypertension in control because the data capture might be poor. So in conclusion, let's review our three initial goals. The first was to determine what a healthcare system needs from public health. And we learned that health systems would like ready access to public health data that impacts their clinical outcomes, namely controlled substance database and vital records. Second, we wanted to determine how public health can use electronic health record data. And our interdisciplinary team really gained a lot of insight in working with the flat file export. And now we understand kind of what questions we need to ask when we're requesting electronic health record data. And now we have experience in analyzing it so that when we want to move to chronic disease surveillance on a state level, we have better expertise in that. And the third was to determine how can we integrate public health and electronic health record data. And we were able to provide meaningful information at the population level, for example, poverty and uninsured rates, to clinical populations of concern, such as those with low control rates of hypertension. So to determine the so what factor for this, let's revisit our original overarching questions. What's the role of public health within the health system? So we first demonstrated that there may be there's a need for maybe some education out to the health systems about what public health does and what our expertise are. However, we can assist health systems in using public health data to better understand their populations of interest, and this will likely improve their clinical measures as well. Secondly, we wanted to know if we could integrate health systems and public health to achieve mutual goals. So based on our experience, data exchange is really the first step, and public health can use electronic health record data to improve our surveillance and evaluate our programs. And health systems can use public health data in order to understand and have a better holistic view of their population for factors outside of the four walls of their clinic. This can then allow us to partner for targeted interventions based on the data to reach both public health and health system goals. So our next step is we're partnering with the health system to do better training with their Southwest clinics. They said that it's really hard for them to get down there because of the geographic distance. They don't do a lot of QI with those clinics. So we're going to work with our Southwest local health district in order to do this. We're also working with our health system to get HL7 feeds instead of using flat files to get the EHR data. And we're going to work to get additional variables, so BMI, smoking status, other things that impact chronic disease. And lastly, which is kind of another arm of this project, we are working with our health information exchange to determine if they're the right place to host a chronic disease surveillance system for the state of Utah. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.